Some of you will be finishing your tests one day this week and going back home or elsewhere to work. Some of you will be graduating Saturday and leaving us. I want to personally say to all of you that my prayers are with you, and on behalf of the congregation say that we're glad to have you with us. As you're visiting back in Henderson, come by to see us. When you return in the fall, let us know how we can help you. We appreciate having you in our midst. We will miss you this summer, and we will be looking forward to having as many of you back in the fall as is possible. We bid you Godspeed. On December the 4th of last year, Merlin Olson spoke at the benefit dinner on campus, gave what I believe was an outstanding speech, making many points that were worthwhile. One of the things that he said stuck with me more than anything else. He was describing his relationship with Michael Landon as they were filming some of the television series. And he mentioned one thing particularly that Mr. Landon had told him. You may remember that he indicated that Michael Landon was a driver in some ways and expected people to do their best. And according to Merlin Olson, he said that Michael told him on one occasion, "When your face is on the screen, it's your responsibility." What he meant by that was that when they were filming for a series, as long as somebody else was being filmed, it wasn't too important what Merlin was doing. But when they came to the point that he was a character, or maybe the character, and when his face was on the screen, when he was being filmed, it was his responsibility to produce. Folks, one of the biggest problems we have, in my opinion, in this country is that we tend to emphasize rights instead of responsibilities. Oh, I'm thankful that we're guaranteed certain rights by our Constitution. I'm thankful that we're guaranteed certain rights by our Heavenly Father. But those rights are meaningless unless we accept our responsibilities. And I believe that's what Mr. Olson was saying. Or at least what Mr. Landon was saying as he was talking to Mr. Olson about when your face is on the screen, it's your responsibility. We have lived in a time when, to one extreme, we have Flip Wilson saying, "The devil made me do it." And to the other extreme, we have the woman who was in a class in Bible study where I used to preach, who said in class, "I get up in the morning and turn my life over to God, and he makes all the decisions, and I don't even have to think about them." And somewhere in between, we've got the can't help it's. I can't help it. It's what the homosexuals are trying to tell us. It's what the drunkards are trying to tell us. And I read this week that scientists now think they may be able to isolate a gene that's causing children to misbehave. It's all in the genes. I can't help it. It's somebody else's fault. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible doesn't teach that. That the Bible teaches that there is something that you and I can do about most things. Oh, there are some things that are out of our control. There are some things that have to be left up to God, and I'm thankful He'll take care of those. But when it comes to life, in many instances, it's your face that's on the screen and my face that's on the screen. You remember Hebrews 11, 24 and 25 pictures how Moses had to make a decision. There was the opportunity to stay with the Egyptians and enjoy the pleasures of sin and maybe an easy life. There was the opportunity to go with the children of God and suffer afflictions. Moses' face was on the screen. Nobody else could make that decision for him. Abraham's face was on the screen when God said, "You get out of this country and go into another." And when he said later, "Take your son up into the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice." Jonah's face was on the screen when God said, "Go to Nineveh," and Jonah went the other way. In a sense, God had a monitor on him all the time he was in that ship and in the inside of the great fish. When he came back, God said to him a second time, "I still want you to go over to Nineveh and preach the gospel." Jonah had to make the decision, first the wrong decision and next the right decision. You see, nobody else could make that decision for him. His face was on the screen. If you and I are going to be successful in life, and if we're going to be successful in living for God, we must come to realize that my face and your face are both on the screen as far as God is concerned. Now, it is true that in the earlier years of life, somebody else makes most decisions for you. God didn't intend for a little baby to make the decisions for itself. That's why he gave us parents with a responsibility to rear their children and to protect them. And in those earlier years of life, most decisions are not made by self, but rather by parents and others who are in authority. However, there comes a time in life that we have designated as the age of accountability, which is not necessarily a chronological age, but an age of maturity, where one is held accountable in the sight of God and has the responsibility of making decisions beyond what he has had in previous years. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." 1 Corinthians 13:11. In the next chapter at verse 20, he said that we need to be like children when it comes to malice, not holding grudges. But he said, in understanding, we need to learn to be like men. In other words, we need to grow up and accept some responsibilities. Quit putting blame on others for our mistakes and expecting others to carry out our jobs. Your face is on the screen. For a few minutes, I want to suggest about 9 or 10 areas where this applies. For many of you, it will apply in a very specific way in the next few days. When you go into a classroom, sit down for a final test, it's your face that's on the screen. Or at least it better be. When you get your grade, you may blame the teacher, you may blame the others that were in the class, but it's your grade, you're the one that will have it, you're the one that will deal with it. That's what the teacher's been trying to tell you all semester, what some have been trying to tell some of you for 4 years. It's your baby, you see. It's your responsibility. You're the one who will have to do something about it. You just won't get very much help from anybody else. I don't believe the devil can make you miss those questions, and I don't think God's going to answer them for you. Your face is on the screen. When you are on a date, your face is on the screen. In fact, when you're in a relationship with another person or other people, whatever the situation may be, it's your face that's on the screen because you have the responsibility to make the right decisions. And with very few exceptions, you can control the situation. There may be some instances where there is force involved and the situation cannot be controlled on a date or in a human relationship. But almost without exception, you can control the situation. You can control where you go and what you do. You can control how your body is respected or not respected. You can control what you take into your body, either yielding to temptations or standing firmly against those temptations. It's your face that's on the screen. And if you yield to the temptation, it won't do you much good to blame somebody else. Though somebody else may have encouraged, it's still your problem. You are the one who can make the decision. You are the one who will determine how you use your words, how you use your body, and your relationship to those things that can be harmful. Your face is on the screen. When you go to your job tomorrow, as you go to work, or maybe for some even today, as there are responsibilities to be carried out, and even as some of you go for a job interview during the next week or the next month, it is your face that's on the screen. It won't do you much good to depend on somebody else or to blame somebody else. God set up the work ethic and said, if a man will not work, he's not to eat, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. One who will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel, 1 Timothy 5:8. and gave principles for the workplace in passages like Titus 2, 9 through 11, showing the kind of respect that is to be present for the employee to the employer, it is your face that is on the screen. And whether or not you produce will determine what you obtain and how successful you are. The same thing is true when it comes to marriage. Usually when there's a young man and a young woman who stands in front of a preacher here on this stage to say their vows, you'll notice that the VCR camera is trained on them. Oh, there may be other times during the ceremony that others will be viewed, but mainly it's those two because they are the center of attention, and rightly so. But after that marriage ceremony is over and one is a husband, it's his face that's on the screen in the family. To be the leader of that family, Ephesians 5, to provide for his wife also in that chapter. And it is the wife's face who's on the screen from that day as long as they both live to be the queen of the house and to see that the family is as it ought to be and to have respect for her husband and to stand by his side and support him. Just as soon as you've said I do, God says you'd better. He says, here is what I expect you to do. Here is your responsibility. Oh, there are a lot of privileges that go with marriage. There are a lot of wonderful blessings that are involved. But it's only when we realize that it's our face that's on the screen and accept our responsibilities and put into that relationship what needs to be given that we're able to get from it what we expect and perhaps what we deserve. I further suggest to you as we talk about these human relationships that when problems exist, it's your face that's on the screen. Too many times we say, I'll forgive if he will. I'll do this if. That's not the way the Bible teaches it. You see, God's word says if you've been wronged, you go, and if you have wronged, you go. Doesn't make any difference which side you're on, whether you're the wronger or the wrongee. God says, go. Your face is on the screen. It's your responsibility to work out differences. It's your responsibility to take the bull by the horns and do something about it instead of sitting back and waiting for someone else and saying, I will if. It's really to say, I will because of what God is and what Christ means to me and the responsibility that I have. Becoming a Christian puts your face on the screen because, you see, I cannot become a Christian for you, nor you for me. We can teach, we can encourage, but obedience has to be from the heart, Romans 6:17. And even Jesus will not force himself through that door, but rather stands and knocks and says, please open and let me come in. Revelation 3:20. And once you have reached the age of accountability, let me assure you that you are on God's monitor. He is watching to see whether or not you will obey his will, become a child of his, and live for him. It's your face that's on the screen when you think about being a Christian. And then the living of the Christian life is the same way. This goes back to, in a sense, reemphasize what we said when we were talking previously about human relationships, because that's what Christianity is about. We serve God as we serve others. We live for God as we live among others. And so it's as you reach out to help others and to serve others and to live and to do right that you're serving God, and it's your responsibility. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can accomplish your life for you. It's your face that's on the screen. It's your body that's to be presented a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the sight of God, Romans 12:1. It's your mind that's not to be conformed to this world, but rather transformed by renewing it, verse 2 of that chapter. And nobody else can do that for you. In fact, there is a true sense in which, as we worship God, it's your face that's on the screen. You notice sometimes in some of these big assemblies for awards and so forth that all of a sudden the camera will go out in the audience and there will be a light around the head of a certain person. Maybe it's a celebrity. With all the audience that's there, you're looking at that one person. I think, in a sense, that's how God looks at each of us, even as we worship this morning. You see, each one of us had to make a decision about coming to the services. We'll make that decision tonight, Wednesday night, for Bible study at other times. Nobody else can make it for you. And even though you may try to place the blame on someone else, it's really your decision, because it's your face that's on the screen. And if you even stop and think about what we do in worship, you'll see that this is true. I will sing with the spirit and the understanding. I will pray with the spirit and with the understanding, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Let a man examine himself, and let him take the bread and the fruit of the vine. When the Lord's Supper is being passed, your face is on the screen as far as God is concerned. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows your actions as you observe the Lord's Supper. Let every one of you, or each one of you as it is, lay by in store on the first day of the week. When you give, it's your face that's on the screen. I can't do that for you. You cannot do it for me. Oh, we pool together our talents and our monies and our efforts and do a better job because we work together. But in a sense, God looks at each one of us. And even as the gospel is preached, and we have the responsibility to see that it is preached, you have the responsibility to take heed what you hear, Mark 4:24, and how you hear, Luke 8:18. It's your face that's on the screen when we come to the subject of worship. And then there is the time of judgment. And if there's ever a subject where this applies, it's at the day of judgment. You see, God will not judge us as a congregation. He will not judge us as a team. He will judge us as individual Christians. Every man according to his own works, as is written in the books, and in that book of life, the record that God keeps, Revelation 20, verse 13. With each one giving an account for the things that he has done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad or evil. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. You see, when the judgment day comes, there's going to be my face on God's screen. He's going to be looking at me and me alone. He's going to be looking at how I have accepted my responsibilities and with his help carried them out to serve him, not to earn salvation, but to serve him within the boundaries of his grace while I was living here. My face will be on the screen. And it won't do any good to say, God, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help it, or God, I turned that over to you, why didn't you take care of it? When it's something that God has turned over to us, and folks, there are many things that God has turned over to us that he doesn't want us to turn back to him, but to take and do something, accepting our responsibilities and carrying them out, because my face is on the screen and God expects me to do something about it. In the classroom, your face is on the screen, on the date, on the job, in marriage, solving problems, becoming a Christian, living as a Christian, worshiping God as a Christian, meeting God in the day of judgment. In all of these areas, it's your face that's on the screen. God looks at you with love and kindness and mercy, but also with justice and expectation, because your face is on the screen. On one occasion, when he was president, Abraham Lincoln was seen shining his shoes. A man walked up to him and said, "Mr. President, do you shine your own shoes?" And his answer was, "Whose shoes do you shine?" Folks, whether we're presidents or whether we're at some other level in life, it may be in the eyes of God and in his mind that he's asking, whose shoes are you shining? They're your shoes. You need to shine. Henley said in Invictus, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." And I would not have that misunderstood for anything. I realize God is involved in everything. I believe strongly in God's providence. I believe that God has the whole world in his hands. But in that whole world in his hands, he has me, and he has given me some responsibility to accept and to do something about it. And in that sense, I am the master of my fate, and I'm the captain of my soul. Without God, I couldn't do anything about it, but with God and within the boundaries of his word, I can do something about it. I can obey from the heart. I can become a Christian. I can live for him. I can repent of my sins and receive forgiveness. And in that sense, I'm the captain of my soul. I have to do something about it. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch asked. And I've always thought it rather interesting that it was the sinner who was asking what he could do instead of the preacher telling him what he needed to do. The Ethiopian eunuch realized that his face was on the screen. And the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That man who was a heathen, who just a few hours before had not known anything about Jesus Christ, had become so convinced that there was salvation and that he could do something about it. He said, "What do I need to do?" The prodigal son said, "I will arise and I will go to my father." He realized that his face was on the screen. And Simon the sorcerer said, "Would you pray for me that this not be laid against me?" He realized his face was on the screen. And I challenge you this morning, particularly if you're not a Christian or a wayward child of God, that it is your face that's on the screen as the invitation song is being sung. What will you do about it? Together we stand and sing.